Does this have the vocals with it? Or is it just the sound?
That's just the good music. That's just the music.
Yeah. That's Jelly Roll.
Actually, Hound Dog Roll.
Oh, it's Hound Dog Roll? Okay, all right. I like
it. And
that.
I thought it was Boudin Roll.
I like it. That sounds good. You can almost see walking down the streets of Crowley or Brobridge or Lafayette.
Especially during, well, it's Mardi Gras this week, and you got festivals in the fall all over those towns. It's great.
All over those towns. Oh, welcome back, y'all, to Rosie on the House. And if you think we've got pests here, you ought to go live in Brobridge, Louisiana, next to the Chaffalaya River. Listen, we're talking integrated pest management, or at least that's the topic we're trying to get to. It is the topic of choice for the 10 o'clock hour. Now, we've kind of been all over the board this first half hour, but I want to address
it. A lot of follow-up from last week.
A lot of follow-up from last week, and the big wildlife, urban wildlife management of invaders in your yard. And this week we're talking about, it's called integrated pest management. And it's a science-based approach to managing pests using safe, sustainable, and effective tactics against common garden pests. It may include insects or weeds, diseases, birds, and rodents. So it's a holistic approach to managing marauding, invasive pests. And I think we've got, at Rosie on the House, on our staff, it seems to me we have some pretty talented gardeners based on some of the produce that comes in. And so our writer got to talking with some of the more successful gardeners on the team, and they started talking about going to the nursery centers and buying boxes of 2,000 ladybugs. And we were talking with John Eisenhower earlier today about whitefly infestation. Well, I guess one of the best things you can do for whitefly infestation is buy a couple of boxes of these ladybugs. And, you know, to a whitefly, a ladybug probably looks like T-Rex, you know? You can also buy praying mantises or mantis. Okay, somebody tell me the plural of mantises. Praying mantises. Praying mantis.
Isn't it just plural already? Praying mantis. Singular and
all
plural.
All y'all praying mantis.
But the ladybugs, you have to be careful. You don't want to just bring them home and open the box.
Oh, really? I've never done it. So.
And shake them out. You want them to be gradually introduced into your yard so they don't just all fly away as soon as you open it up.
Oh.
You know, if they were, we would have a lot more ladybugs if this was a natural native environment for them. And they're not big heat tolerant, and they migrate hundreds and thousands of miles. I mean, you wouldn't think these little tiny bugs could, but they will get up in the jet stream and just float it for hundreds of miles.
Are you pulling my leg?
No. So don't give them a reason to leave your property. You want to make sure when you bring the box, it's usually a plastic jar, and it's got vents cut in the top. And whether you know, depending on the size of your area, you may have one, two, three, four, you'll buy more than you think you're going to need because, you know, you can't keep them all. You won't keep them all. So if you're trying to do this control in a vegetable garden, you'll first start by setting the box underneath the vegetables for a night. Just let them get used to that surrounding. Then the next day, don't shake the box or, you know, like dump them out like you're shaking fertilizer. Just take the lid off and let them naturally come out and crawl. And they'll just start doing their thing, walking through the garden and making their way onto your plants and just eating as they go, all the insects, and won't harm the vegetation that you're trying to grow for food.
All right. Well, for those of you interested in the topic, I'm going to send y'all to the University of Arizona website. It's arizona.edu. And when you get there, simply type in the search engine IPM. U of A has an integrated pest management control center based in Maricopa, Arizona. And I had the pleasure of speaking with their community integrated pest management entomologist. How'd you like to make that introduction every time you meet somebody? And her name was Shaku Nair. And Shaku spent 45 minutes on the phone with me kind of talking about, you know, Shaku, what do you do to start establishing, how do I tell my homeowners what to do if they're trying to begin integrated pest management so they're not just taking chemicals, you know, if they want to try this approach? And she says, well, the first thing is you've got to identify the bug. And you got to find out what it is and what is it doing. And assess how big a problem is it really. And she said there are no blanket recommendations. Every single application is separate. And Shaku is the community entomologist. So she's involved with a lot of public gathering places. So when your child's school sends a note home that there could be a possible head lice problem on campus, Shaku is the woman to the rescue. She goes and does an analysis of the situation. You have a bed bug infestation that could be tracked back to your schools. Shaku Nair is the one they contact. She travels the entire state serving any community environmental issue. So, and now, like we've said how many times just today's show, virtually with no winter this year, we're going to have a level of pest survival into the spring season that's going to be, has to be at near record levels.
Well, and this follows up another light winter from last year as well, too.
Yeah, but so we drowned them last winter.
I don't think you can drown a lot of these things.
But she spends a lot of time in agriculture, like Will Rousseau, who had the organic farming that we were talking with last week. He talks about the fact that he has to leave a piece of land untouched by chemicals for 3 years before he can even begin to consider raising something in that property that is going to be certified organic to put out on the retail shelves. So she deals a lot with that kind of environment as well. You've got aphids, you've got caterpillars, you've got whiteflies. And the other thing we're talking about in today's article is making sure you've got little critters in the yard to pollinate.
And before we get to pollinators, wrapping up on ladybugs, aphids, mites, whiteflies, and scale insects. And then you can upgrade. You'd mentioned caterpillars. We actually took a call on caterpillars in the 8 o'clock
yeah.
hour. Some they were attacking a Texas mountain laurel. Now, praying mantis will work for caterpillars at up to a certain level. You know, you can't. You've got to. It's a size ratio. You have to. you can't go get a box of praying mantis eggs now and expect they're going to do any good for the caterpillar problem you're having right now. So, but they will, once you introduce them and you create that habitat, they live about a year and you start creating that life cycle. Well, they'll catch up then next season and the following season if you keep, you know, you make sure they're replenished and they're available. And they're
Now, next you're going to tell me praying mantis go into the jet stream too.
No, they'll stick around your house. And,
okay.
And in addition to caterpillars, beetles, grasshoppers, crickets, mosquitoes. And they'll also eat aphids as well. They're kind of a gardener's, an organic gardener's
number one,
yeah,
friendly insect.
That's what I was looking
praying
for.
Praying mantis.
Because unicorn wasn't the right answer.
And
the right word I was looking for.
And we tell people whenever we're contacted about a home that has a scorpion issue, the first thing we start looking for is their favorite food source, grasshoppers. So you're looking for organic material piled up someplace that stays wet. You're talking about leaves. You're talking about trimmings. You're talking about wood piles. You find the crickets, you'll find the scorpions.
And you can't be a reactionary if you have praying mantis, because if you're sitting there working in the garden, it's not uncommon to take your hands out from, you know, picking your peppers or whatever, and have one crawling on you. And the first, everybody's first reaction when something's crawling on them is
scream like a little girl and smash.
Big old smack. Just put your hand back, let it crawl back onto the plant, or you know, gently put it back. You can't have a willy stomach.
All right. So just today, we've started some new databases about cats are scorpion deterrents of some type. We've got a couple testimonials here just in the last 2 hours. That's true. And here's one we've never had on the phone right now.
And as we bring in Ron from Queen Creek on cats, what you have to be careful for there is they are such a great controller when you've got rodents and small animals. But in the city, it's almost impossible to find a neighborhood where somebody's not feeding them, and then they start procreating, and then suddenly you're overrun by
okay
by a cat problem. So you've got to, you know, you've got to make sure you're having them spayed, neutered. You're not feeding them. You're letting them control it. It completely defeats the purpose of having an organic predator if you're sitting there feeding it.
And Ron from Queen Creek is calling. I've been on air 30 years. I've never, ever had this conversation before with any Arizona homeowner. This is new ground for me. Good morning, Ron.
How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just first explain that, you know, I'm dead set against spraying insecticides in the walls and all around the house and stuff, okay?
All right.
The reason being is because, and it always works for me, is the natural predators. I get lizards all over my walls. They clean out crickets and everything. There's your food source.
Okay.
This year I had lizards all in the outer walls, but I noticed all, you know, I got geckos on my patio. I live on a 2-acre horse property.
Okay. Okay.
So I have irrigation. So this may differ for some people. But this year, we always sit out on our patio at night. And this year we had three big praying mantis on the patio at night up there, and they were grabbing bugs. I said, don't spray, don't hurt them, because they're killing off those bugs that we hate. And then I've always had a little bit of problem with scorpions also, okay? But remember, I don't spray because I've tried to figure out a way to get rid of them naturally with the natural predators. This year, three bullfrogs, smaller bullfrogs, showed up in our patio, probably because of the irrigation too. And, of course, everybody wanted to get rid of them, and I said, no, leave them alone. So we'd sit out there, and they'd go hopping by us, and they just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I bet everybody we would not have a scorpion problem anymore in the house or outside, because those guys are eating their weight in food every single night. And guess what? Not one single scorpion showed up on the patio. And I use a black light all night looking for them. There was not a single one in the house. They wiped out everything.
Out of curiosity, did you ever witness one eating a scorpion?
No, I did not. But I witnessed them eating everything in sight, sitting by the light, just cleaning everything off.
The result.
And if they even didn't get the scorpion. What they got was is they wiped out the food supply.
Okay. In either case, I could see that. All right. Now, see, you could be doing a lot of other things right now. But you would have missed out on that tidbit, and then you'd be living without it forever.